Welcome to the Financial Philosophers Podcast, where we explore the nuances of personal finance, improve our financial literacy, and empower ourselves to achieve financial freedom. Come nerd out with us, and let's take this journey together.
Welcome back. We hope you're doing great today. Today, we are going to be talking about Roth accounts. That's right. We're talking about Roth accounts again. This time, though, we're going to be talking about how to use them as an emergency fund or as a substitute for your existing emergency fund. Chris, how do we do that?
Great question. You know, when you mention using a Roth IRA as an emergency fund, some people might scratch their head and go, well, what do you mean? I didn't know you could do that, right? So this is actually something I think is underappreciated and overlooked. So you're not actually doing anything special with a Roth IRA. You're not pulling any levers or doing something that isn't allowed. It's just viewing a portion of your Roth IRA as an emergency fund. And to the point you just said, Danny, this isn't necessarily something that's going to replace somebody's emergency fund. It's, for most people, likely something that's just going to be a supplement to their overall emergency fund. But let's unpack this strategy. Let's go into some of the pros and cons. You know, what do I mean by this? What is this Roth IRA as an emergency fund? Basically, it's contributing to your Roth IRA, but intentionally carving out a space within it for those dollars that you need to be available to be used in case an emergency happens. That's basically it. Now, there's a little bit to unpack there, right? How do you, what does that mean and why would somebody do that? So the best way I can describe it is, so Danny, imagine you're sitting here and you're going, you know what, at the time of us recording this, right, it's just at the end of March. So the tax filing deadline is coming up April 15th. It's the last date you have to contribute. April 15th, 2024. It's the last date you have to contribute for your 2023 Roth IRA contribution, if you haven't done so already.
To try and reach that contribution, that annual contribution limit.
Right, right. And so maybe you're sitting here and you're like, gosh, cash flow is really tight. I don't have an emergency fund fully funded yet in my savings account. I have some other things coming up on the horizon. I have a couple other funding goals and spending goals I need to hit. I'm a little bit nervous about tying up some of my money in a Roth IRA, especially if there's a decent probability I'm going to need to access it in case something comes up. Well, here's what we know about Roth IRAs, right, Danny? Contributions, not earnings, the contributions, what you literally contribute to the account, can always be pulled out tax-free and penalty-free, right? We all know that you can't withdraw from a Roth IRA into the earnings unless you're age 59 and a half or older in order to make a qualified withdrawal, right, to avoid the taxes.
Yeah, and the account has existed for at least 5 years.
Correct. But contributions, it's okay because those are after-tax dollars. You can access them. So the idea here is, hey, why don't we still make the contribution so we don't miss out on it for this year? But let's just keep a portion of that contribution in a safe, liquid mutual fund, like a money market fund or something like that. Something
okay.
That could easily be accessed in case the emergency does come up.
So we have limited capital at this point, and we are taking some of that capital that would have flown into just a cash emergency fund, essentially, right, within a bank account or something. And we are putting that into the Roth IRA vehicle. We are putting it into the Roth account, but then instead of investing in equities for growth, we're investing into something, a cash equivalent money market fund, something like that.
Right.
So it is still earning that tax-free interest, you know, on a monthly annual basis, whatever it may be. But it's liquid and you're preserving that capital rather than exposing it to the volatility of the market.
Right. And
okay.
That way it's at the ready for you, right? Like it's not subject to the whims of the market and the volatility of the market. Your capital is generally preserved with this strategy, right? And so it's available in case you need it. And just as a quick reminder to our listeners, if your income is too high, you're not able to contribute to a Roth IRA. You also need to have earned income, right? Either through your employer or if you're self-employed, that type of thing.
If I'm living off of dividends, right? If I've hit financial independence and I'm living off of dividends, I cannot take that dividend income and then roll it into a Roth account.
I wish you could. Yeah. That would be really cool. But unfortunately, that does not count as earned income. But that's correct. That's a great example. So if you are somebody who is truly financial independent, you're kind of in between jobs, maybe you are fully stepped away from employment or you're kind of in between on an off year, you got to be mindful of those situations. You do have to have that earned income. And remember, the most you can contribute, right, for 2023, we're in 2024 now. So by the time people are listening to this episode, you may have just a little over a week before you miss that deadline. But the 2023 Roth IRA contribution limit was $6,500 or $7,500 if you're over the age of 50. That's the extra $1,000 catch up. For this year, 2024, it's $7,000 or it's $8,000 if you're over the age of 50. So that's just a quick reminder on that. So Danny, let's jump into some of the pros and cons of this strategy, right? Using a Roth IRA as a supplement to your emergency fund. Some of the pros. Number one, you're less likely to miss out on those precious contributions, right? I mean, you can only squeeze in so much per year into a Roth IRA. And if you miss that contribution deadline, you don't get to go back and make it, right? So it's precious to be able to get those contributions in. So this strategy is one way to hold yourself more accountable and maybe still squeeze in that contribution while also satisfying this other goal you have of building up this emergency fund you might need. Number two, con, Danny, you actually mentioned it, the five-year clock, right? If this is your first contribution, you're getting that five-year clock started. And that's an important thing, especially if you're nowhere near the age of 59 and a half, right? Like, you have to have had that account open for at least 5 years in order for certain things to be penalty-free, for example. So that's an important thing. I won't go into the nuances or details of the five-year clock. That's something that I think to our listeners, you can Google and look up, but that is something to be mindful of. Danny, fun tip on the five-year clock. If you contribute to a Roth IRA on December 31st of a tax year, that Roth IRA is counted as having been open for the entire year. So okay. In theory, you could actually, you know, if it's at the end of the year, you could still make that contribution and that counts as the first year it's been open. It's not from like the actual date. Yeah. So it's a fun little shout out. Third thing that's a pro, you are synergizing multiple strategies, right? In order to achieve more goals at the same time. The alternate solution would be, oh, I don't have my emergency fund funded. So maybe I just don't contribute to my Roth IRA this year, right? So you just forego doing it. With this strategy, you're at least squeezing those dollars in, even though you're keeping them in cash, you're at least not missing out on that contribution that you may have passed up on, right?
Yeah. I have a question before we jump into some of the flexibility of a Roth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's completely separate from even using it as a savings account or an emergency fund. I mean, not a savings account. Let's say that for 2023, I have, you know, I've put $6,000 into the Roth account. And then 2 years later, so 2025, 2 years later, I need to pull out $6,000 for an emergency. And I have removed that contribution, right? But not the growth that I've realized on it. If the year later in 2026, I'm in a good financial spot, can I refund that 2023 contribution? If I pulled those contributions out and I had previously contributed within that year, am I allowed to put them back in?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, okay.
You're not able to. You wouldn't be able to go back and say, hey, I pulled out my 2023 year's worth of contributions in 2025. I'd like to go back and put that $2023 contribution back in. Once it's out, it is out.
Okay. So that's good to know.
Yeah, it is good to know. You could almost say that's a con to this strategy, but I would argue that you are still otherwise contributing to the Roth IRA when you weren't going to begin with due to other conflicting funding goals or
absolutely,
you know, your emergency fund. So I don't know how much of a con we can really call that, but it is something to definitely be mindful of that you can't go back and make those contributions whole once they've been pulled out. So that's a great question.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you weren't going to contribute to the Roth account anyway, you've given yourself just that more extra flexibility. And it's not really a con if it wouldn't have been funded in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, I'm going to say this is the fourth pro, because you just made me think of this in terms of you can't put it back in, right? I think that very fact would give some people pause, like for concern. Like, is it cause for concern or pause for concern? It's one of those phrases. I don't know the actual phrase.
I think cause for concern.
Cause for concern. I think it would give some people cause for concern knowing that they can't put those precious contributions back, right? And here's the fourth pro I'm going at. Perhaps if you are setting aside a portion of your Roth IRA as part of your overall emergency fund, maybe you are less likely to touch it, right?
It's sure. It may make you think twice about using that Roth emergency fund to buy a Wave Runner.
Right. And last I checked, a Wave Runner is not an emergency unless there's like a global catastrophic tsunami or something and you need a Wave Runner to get away. I don't know. So I don't think that's going to count. So, no, Danny, I mean, think about the statistics we've talked about, right? How many, it's close to 60% of people in this country cannot come up with $1,000 in an emergency. Maybe a Roth IRA is just one extra step. It's one more barrier in between you and your cash that could be so tempting to dip into, right? I mean, on my bank account, right, I can, at the click of a button, I can transfer money from my savings to my checking, and it happens instantly. There's no barrier there, right? So I can build up an emergency fund, but could very easily just access it if I felt the slightest temptation to do so. Not going to be the same if that money is in a Roth IRA. Could you access it pretty easily? Yes, but you have a few more steps you have to take before you get there. So, and knowing that you can't put those contributions back in, I don't know. I think that might be a healthy thing for some individuals when they have certain spending behaviors or financial behaviors that are continuously preventing them from building up an emergency fund because they're tempted to spend it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, you hinted, Danny, at the flexibility. I'm going to say this is the fifth pro to the Roth IRA as an emergency fund. I understand that a Roth IRA has restrictions with how you can access it and what you can use it for compared to a savings account in a bank, right? Which is, there are no restrictions, right? You can take money out anytime, right? If the money's in there. But I want to give some credit to the Roth IRA for how flexible it is, right? We've already talked about the contributions, right? Any contributions you put in can be pulled out tax-free and penalty-free. Remember, we said contributions. This is different than conversions, even if conversions were after-tax dollars that you paid the taxes on. These are Roth IRA contributions. Can always pull them out tax-free and penalty-free. But the earnings, Danny, there is some flexibility there too that I think gets discounted often, right? So let me give you a couple examples. If your account, remember that five-year clock we talked about just a couple minutes ago, if your account has been open for 5 years and you are disabled, and so you need to pull money out of your Roth IRA for disability purposes, or you're a first-time home buyer and you want to use some money from your Roth IRA to help with that purchase, you can actually pull out your earnings from the Roth IRA tax-free and penalty-free, even if you're under the age of 59 and a half, so long as you meet that five-year clock rule and you're using it either for disability purposes or first-time home buyer. That first-time home buyer does have a lifetime limit of $10,000. So there's a cap on that you can use. But
I mean, you'll hit that helpful with your first home purchase. No problem.
Easily. Easily. Yeah. So that's pretty flexible to be able to dip into some of those earnings. You can also dip into the earnings for other things too. Earnings, if you are dipping into them to use for a certain qualified higher education expenses or maybe unreimbursed medical bills above the 7.5% AGI floor, or if you're pulling them out for qualified health insurance premiums, if you're unemployed, or if there's qualified disaster distributions, which also have limits, or if you made the withdrawal within 1 year after birth or adoption of a child, I think there's a limit on that, like $5,000.
Okay.
The point is, there are all these little things that you can tap into the earnings on those examples I just gave, the qualified higher education expenses, the medical bills, things like that. You can tap into the earnings penalty-free, but not tax-free. Important little nuance there. But the point is, there is more flexibility than meets the eye, right? I often hear people have a quick dismissal of putting money into a Roth IRA, usually along the lines of something like, I need to have access to my money. I don't want to tie it up until I'm, 60 years or older. Like, I need to be able to use this capital. Okay. Like, I agree that's important to have access to your capital, but let's not discount the flexibility a Roth IRA already gives you regarding contributions, accessing them, as well as some of the earnings on a tax and or penalty-free basis, right? The benefit of that tax-deferred growth and potentially tax-free withdrawals when you're older is so powerful. And the fact that you can get access to it in this vehicle while still having some of this flexibility really lends itself to being a multi-purposed asset, in my opinion, which is why we're talking about this, right? I think this is just an example that you could carve out a space within your Roth IRA to be a part of your overall emergency fund, should it make sense for your situation. So,
okay, that makes sense.
Let's talk about some of the cons, Danny. These are, I think the one that's pretty obvious is that you have to be comfortable with the extra hurdles you have to accommodate, right? Like being aware of what your contributions are versus what the earnings are, being aware of when you can access the earnings versus you cannot on a tax and or penalty free basis, being aware of Roth IRA contribution limits per year, and that you have to have an income that's below a certain threshold and that you have to have earned income, right? There are some of these things you have to be accounting for. So that is a con, right? You don't generally, when I'm putting money in my savings account at my bank, I don't have to think twice about any of these types of things. So that is something to be aware of. The other one too, I hesitate, Danny, to call this a con. You and I have talked about this before. The Roth is such a powerful vehicle to get money invested so that it can compound grow over decades and potentially be a massive tax-free bucket to pull from. So with this strategy, we are, you know, saying like, hey, you have to be willing to carve out some of that portion to just be sitting in a cash-like instrument, like a money market fund, which is not going to have market-level returns, right?
Sure. So you're saying you have to be comfortable with missing out on potential market gains. However, I think that, you know, we're both alluding to the fact that this strategy would be most effective or most beneficial for someone who does not have the income or the cash flow to fully fund both their Roth account and their emergency fund.
Correct.
So, you know, I don't think that would be as much of a con given who this would probably work best for.
I agree. And you know what? Maybe your cash flow is high enough to the point where it's only sitting in a money market fund for a little bit, right? Until you then top off your emergency fund, and then you can just reinvest, you know, those proceeds into the market.
Very true.
Or whatever is good for your allocation strategy. So, but that's something to be mindful of. I will say too, from a behavioral standpoint, it is going to affect the face value of your performance reported on your statements, right? Like,
okay, yeah.
By just sitting in a money market fund, you know, if you're comparing your Roth IRA to certain benchmarks like the S&P 500 or whatever, you know, that cash is going to probably have a drag in terms of long-term performance. It just depends on the market sequence, right? If the market is doing well.
So with that thought, your Roth account, the summary is going to show overall, very likely, overall lower returns. However, also within your account, you can look at the performance of the individual securities that you purchased, and you can just calculate it that way.
Correct. Yeah. And so I only bring this up so that if somebody's going this route, I don't want them to get into a position where they forgot why they were doing this in the first place, and they are unfairly judging the lower performance, potentially lower performance, by keeping some of it in cash and then feeling bad about it. It's funny how performance indicators can really trigger us to feel elated or just totally demolished emotionally, right? Depending on what numbers are in front of you. So I bring that up just as a point to be aware of. So the last con, I think this is an important one, Danny. You do have to track your contributions, right? In case you're ever audited, right? If the IRS ever audits you and they say, hey, you took a withdrawal from this Roth IRA, do you have anything to substantiate to explain why you did not pay taxes on it? Because you're not 59 and a half, right? And, you know, you're saying you tapped into your contributions and not their earnings. Well, can you prove that to us, right? You have to have something to substantiate that.
Okay. I don't know about your accounts, but my Roth account, the broker, actually, I can pull up by year and I can see what is contribution and what is earnings, and they're listed in different columns, and I can easily pull out like what year I pulled from, what was contribution, and I don't know if all brokers do that, but mine certainly makes it very convenient.
That is really convenient. I honestly think that's probably good, right? My rule of thumb is like, I just save the statements from the account that show like the activity, like here's clearly a date stamp of when a contribution was made. Here's clearly a date stamp of when a withdrawal was made, right? You should be able to have a historical record of all contributions ever made and all withdrawals ever taken. And if your withdrawals are less than the contributions you've made, you can pretty clearly make the case like, hey, I've only withdrawn a portion that isn't even equal, or perhaps is only equal to the contributions I've ever made, right? And so just keeping your records should be fine. Let your tax preparer know if you make a Roth IRA contribution so they can also track that for you. You know, if you keep those things, you should be fine. Honestly, chances of somebody being audited are very, very low depending on their situation, but it's important to keep these things just in case. You know, it's good to have them on hand in case you ever need to substantiate withdrawing your contributions. So that's pretty much it, Danny. I think in closing thoughts, you know, the whole purpose of this is to show you that, hey, if you're the kind of person that has conflicting goals, right? You really want to contribute to a Roth IRA, but you are concerned about tying up the money and you have other funding goals you're trying to take care of as well. Don't give up hope. You know, there might be a strategy here for you where you can maybe satisfy a couple buckets at the same time. You know, being aware of some of these nuances could be a powerful tool to have in your tool belt to be able to supplement your emergency fund and not miss out on those precious contributions when, you know, when they come. Because if
definitely.
You miss them, they're gone forever. Anyway, Danny, that was fun.
Yeah, good to talk through.
Yeah, hope you found this to be helpful. Be curious if any of you have done this before. Have any of you ever used this strategy? Feel free to share any of your thoughts in the comments on our video, and we can discuss things in there as well. Thanks again, as always, for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
All opinions expressed in this program are for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for any investment decisions or financial advice. Always remember that investing involves risk and the possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a qualified professional before making any important financial decisions.